Life itself is truly amazing, and it is worth pondering. It's worth thinking about, especially when you say, well, what is the most important issue in life? And there are many different answers that have been given to that question. People and philosophers, they just love to consider all the possibilities. And perhaps I should rephrase the question and say, what does God say is the most important issue in life? And the Bible and God says, the most important issue in life is to be hearers of the Word of God. Hearers of the Word of God. And it's not only important to hear the Word of God, but this hearing the Word of God from God's perspective means to receive it, and to believe it, and to depend upon it. The Bible says that God sent His Son to accomplish our salvation at the cross. Salvation is the free gift of God. Jesus died in our place for our sins on the cross and secured our forgiveness. And then all who believe in Him will be saved. And this salvation is from sin and death. It sets us free from sin and death. And we have eternal life. The decision that is made, this is most amazing when you ponder life, the decision that is made in this life has eternal consequences. I'm always amazed at that. I believe it, but I'm amazed at this life, the decisions that you make in this life, the decisions especially related to the Lord Jesus Christ, has everlasting consequences forever and ever. There's no turning back after death. And in one sense, you get exactly what you want. If you want to be saved, then believe in Jesus Christ. Trust in Him as the Son of God and the Savior that He is. Trust in Him and He will save you from sin and death and give you eternal life. And if you don't want to be saved, then remain as you are and believe in something else and do something else. I'm not encouraging people when I say that, but I'm just saying that's your choice. Just know that everyone gets what they want. They get what they want in life, and then after that life, it is whatever they wanted in life. And this is astounding. But always remember also that God always gets what He wants. The passage we're looking at deals with both of those issues, the hearing of the Word and what our response to God, and then also what God is accomplishing. You have to talk about both of those things, because God's purposes are accomplished here. And Jesus emphasized the hearing of the Word of God. Jesus proclaimed the gospel of the kingdom. He proclaimed that His relationship as the Son of God to God the Father. He proclaimed Himself as the Messiah, the Savior, and the King. And He engaged in public ministry. And He saw the many responses. And He's going to talk about His response to those people who heard His word. He'll say, what does this look like? What did it look like to Jesus? He called sinners to trust in Him, and He knew that the consequences, more than anyone else, He knew the consequences are forever consequent, forever. Jesus is the most important issue in life. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That same chapter says, he who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him forever. The Bible's very clear. Faith in Christ is the dividing line between the saved and the lost, with eternal consequences, eternal consequences. I think when you consider that, there was probably no more motivated and sincere and energetic preaching of the word than the Lord Jesus Christ. And the people who heard him said, he teaches with authority. Well, he taught with authority because he is the truth, he knows the truth, and he knows the significance of truth in the hearts and lives of people. So he proclaimed it with great passion, with great heart. And he also knew that there were those who would not be saved. And in this passage, it's very interesting, and I need to tell you what I'm going to do in this passage, but the first thing I'm going to focus in is on the parable itself. This is the parable of the sower. And next Sunday, I'm going to focus in on verses 6 through 9, because 6 through 9 is the key part of this passage, because it explains what God is doing and what God is accomplishing. That's always primary. So in one sense, I'm going to focus on the experience of people, their experience in hearing the word, because that's what Jesus is talking about. But right in the middle of this passage and the heart of this passage is Jesus explaining what God is accomplishing. And you need to understand that so that you understand the other parts of this passage. So I'm just telling you, I'm giving you sort of this presentation of Jesus Christ, and he's going to talk about what happens to people from their perspective, from his perspective, what happens with people when they hear the word of God, the various responses to the word. But there's a greater response. If God doesn't open our hearts to hear the word of God, if God doesn't accomplish his purposes, then no one would ever hear the word of God. So we always need to see this issue of the sovereignty, and then you also see this the response that people have. That's why I say, you get exactly what you want. When I say that, I'm speaking from man's perspective. You get exactly what you want. You want to be saved, you can be saved. You don't want to be saved, don't come. From God's perspective, he's accomplishing his perfect will, formative, that which controls everything else. And you see both of those things in this passage. But notice the reading. I'm going to read this text again, but notice the reading of Scripture. Verses 1 and 2 is the setting. Verses 1 and 2 sets forth what Jesus is doing. And I want to read this, and I'm going to read it and emphasize some words that need to be emphasized, the action of certain words. It says, he began to teach again by the seashore, and such a very great multitude gathered before him and got into the boat, and he got into a boat and the sea and sat down, and all the multitude were... And here's the action you need to see. We're repeatedly by the seashore on the land. And what that means is the people, this is not like how we do church today. In church, we come together and we have a certain amount of time for me to speak. And hopefully I speak within the parameters of that time. I don't know what the clock's doing in the back, but that's nice to know. But hopefully you stay within the parameters of time. But what this is like Jesus is with a crowd of people coming and going. They stay as long as they want. Jesus is there all day long, and he's teaching. You know, one of the reasons why you have different accounts sometimes, for example, of the Sermon on the Mount, and Matthew and Luke, their accounts are the same and a little different. It's probably because Jesus Christ was continually repeating himself. And that's why I say he didn't just say the Sermon on the Mount. It wasn't just one sermon that he spoke, but he's speaking and he's continually speaking to the people because they're coming. He doesn't say the meeting will begin at such and such an hour. I'll speak for 1 hour and I'll be done. They're coming and going and coming, and he's speaking, and he's just doing the same thing here. So he probably told this parable a bunch of times. And he spoke this parable to the people. And as they're coming and as he's speaking, he's telling me about it. It says, and the multitude were repeatedly, you can put in there, by the seashore and land. And he was repeatedly teaching them many things in the parables and was repeatedly saying to them in his teaching. And that brings him to the passage. So he is a tireless preacher of the Word of God going on and on and on. Amazing. So it says he's by the sea. He's into a boat. People are on the shore. Very large crowd. This is the ministry of Jesus Christ. And the crowd is there for many reasons. Some are there because they want to be healed. Some are there because they want to be cared for. Some are there because they want to see Jesus. Some are there to hear what he has to say. But there's many reasons for them to be there. And it says, and he was speaking to them in parables. Speaking to them through parables. A parable is, the word itself means to place side by side. Here's the truth you want to convey, so you give an illustration or a parable. This is what comes alongside to give clarity, or in the case where Jesus is speaking, to either reveal or conceal truth. But the parable is a story that comes alongside, and this is the story that he tells. And this is, to me, this is very interesting. But he said, listen to me. Behold, the sower went out to sow. It's a very common occurrence. And it came about as he was sowing, some seed fell beside the road. And the birds came and ate it up. Another seed fell on the rocky ground where it did not have much soil. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of soil. And after the sun had risen, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. Another seed fell among the thorns. And the thorns grew up and choked it and yielded no crop. Another seed into good soil, and it grew up and increased in yielding a crop, and were producing 30, 60, and 100-fold, which is an enormous crop. And he was saying, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. I think this is interesting, because I hear this thing, and I go, the disciples came to him later, and we're not going to deal with that portion of the text. They came around him, and the 12 asked him about the parable. Oh, what does this mean? And the Lord is a little bit surprised with them by his wording anyway. But didn't you understand? And that's interesting to me, because this story, if I would have been one of the disciples, one of the people listening, I would say this is a very interesting, it's kind of a common story. And what is the significance of that? I would go, I don't know. I don't get it. I thought about telling you all a story and saying, you know, the other day I got my car. And I went out to run an errand. Actually, I went out to get coffee. And as I was going to coffee, I was driving my car, I drove by a cemetery, and there was people out there in the cemetery. Drove and got the coffee, came back, and they were kind of all going away. And I came back home. And he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And you'd say, what? What is the point of that story? I said, well, it's just a... I said, it's not a parable, actually. Yeah, there is no greater significance. I don't have any significance about it, but it's just an ordinary story. This is ordinary stuff. They all did this. So when he's telling this story, there's this sower sowing seed. They go, yeah, I know that. And the seed lands in different places. Yeah, I know that. This is the kind of seed you throw out on the ground. Sometimes you plant seeds in the ground, but this is the kind you throw out on the ground. You till the ground and you prepare it, but you throw it out on the ground and it goes in all different places. Okay, I mean, I get that. And then he tells little stories about this different four kinds of seed, the four kinds of places where it lands. And you go, okay, What's the point? I mean, if it left it up to me, I could come out with a whole, just being me, I could probably come up with all kinds of different explanations and stories, and I'd get the whole thing wrong. But Jesus has something specifically in mind. And when he tells this story, it may well be that the key to the story is what he says at the very last. When he says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And sometimes we take that to mean, when he says that, that people are going to know exactly what this parable is about. That may be true, but I think what he's saying is, I'm talking about hearing the word of God. He who has ears to hear, we all have ears to hear. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. In other words, here I am, a preacher, preaching the word of God, Jesus Christ is saying, and I'm proclaiming the word of God to you all. Hear the word of God. But he says, I know there's different ways in which you all are receiving this truth. And some of it, you're not hearing the word of God. It's amazing because Jesus is God. And he knows what is taking place as far as the plan and purpose of God more than any of the rest of us know. And he knows the divine purpose. But here he's standing in a group of people and he says, you may have come for miracles. You may have come to be healed. You may have come for a variety of reasons. You may have just come for the show. You may have come just to see all what's going on here. You may have come to say, is this the Messiah? You may have come for a variety of reasons. You need to hear the word of God. And you need to hear it with your heart. You need to hear it so that it becomes a fruitful hearing in your life. And I know that's what he means because he then explained it. We'll get verses 10, 11, and 12 next time. I want to focus in on that because it's so important to see what God is doing. But they said, explain the parable. It's just, okay, I'll explain it to you. And here is the explanation. And he says, the sower sows the word. First thing I want to say to you, this is not about salvation and losing your salvation, or how much you know and how much you lose. It's talking about how you hear the word of God. I know people like to say, well, maybe the second one was kind of saved, maybe not saved, the third one, it's not about being saved or not saved. It's about the sower is sowing the word. This is the word going forth. That's why in verses 1 and 2 are so important, because this whole passage, if it was just about the parable, it could have said, and Jesus was speaking in parables, and he said. But it goes on to say, no, Jesus is repeatedly speaking to this people, repeatedly telling them the truth, repeatedly talking to them, repeatedly as they gather before him, and repeatedly saying. So who is the sower? Well, the primary sower is, in this account, is Jesus, sowing the word of God. If it was really accurate, he'd probably say some of the seed fell in the water because he's in a boat floating out away from the shore. But that would be a whole other parable. But you could say, some of the seed hit the water. But he wants them to understand the significance of hearing and believing the truth. You think back on the ministry of Isaiah, the ministry of Jeremiah. And again, especially the ministry of Isaiah, because the Lord said to Isaiah, I want you to go and proclaim the word that nobody's going to hear. And, I'm amazed, Isaiah's in the presence of God, so I'm not amazed that he would object to that, but it seems to me that he would say, well, what's the point of that? You want me to go and tell people what they're not going to hear? Jesus came to proclaim a message with the divine purpose of being rejected by the people. Now, I'm touching on the divine purpose here, but he came, he knew what was going to take place. He knew what the cross that was coming. He knew that as part of God's eternal plan. He knew the significance of that. He knew the whole thing. And here he stands before the multitude, and he rebukes them for not being hearers of the word. And really explains their situation. He says, let me tell you, and in each one of these things, he says, and the word was sown, and the word was sown, and the word was sown. He said it four times. And the word was sown, it falls on the road, on the roadside. And when they hear, immediately Satan comes, and Satan takes away the word which has been sown to them. And this parable is a parable that occurs outside with the sower sowing seed. When you understand the significance, all the significance of this is what happens inside of us, inside of you, inside of the people. So there's a difference between the parable. It's a parable that comes alongside to illustrate a greater truth. But you need to think on the inside when this thing is taking place, because here's someone hearing the word of God, and it says, Satan, and this is amazing, I don't know the full significance of all this, but Satan snatches the word which they have heard before it has any opportunity to affect that person at all. That's a scary thing that Satan does. And by the way, every place where the word of God is proclaimed, demons are present. Not sure that Satan, he can only be in one place, but I know his demons are always present. They always hate the proclamation of the word of God. I think if our eyes were open to see the spiritual battles taking place in our, we'd be totally amazed at what's taking place in this room right now. Because the demons and Satan hate the proclamation of the word of God because they know the word of God is powerful and accomplishing the purposes of God. So Satan always tries to thwart the word of God. It happened with Adam and Eve in the garden. You know, Adam and Eve are in the garden. Satan didn't walk up to Eve and say, hey, look at that fruit there. Why don't you take a bite? Instead, he says, has God really said, did God really give you that word? Did God really say that tree right there is going to be a tree that you are not to eat from? On the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. And God said that to Adam. Adam was to say it to Eve. So Satan comes to Eve and said, was that really something that God, would he withhold from you one tree? I mean, wouldn't he let you have everything? Is God holding out on you a little bit? And before the word has opportunity to take root and to be fruitful, it's snatched away. And Satan has been attacking the word of God ever since. That's why Satan is more faithful in going to church, and the demons are more faithful in going to church than a lot of people are in going to church. But he's always there. And the demons are always there. And their desire is to snatch away the word of God before it has opportunity to be effective in the hearts and lives of people. That's what the text says. Snatching it away. But the seed has another effect. And that's on the rocky places. It says, and the seed was sown, and when they hear. So the seed is sown, the word is proclaimed, and they hear the word of God. And here it says, and they immediately receive it with joy. Oh man, that's great. Isn't it great to be here at the shore, listening to Jesus in the boat, and listening to his teach? Great stuff. Wow. Makes my heart rejoice. And they receive it with joy. But it says they have no firm root in themselves. I mean, they're just hearing. They're just experiencing the whole thing. Are they really taking it to heart? No. Are they really believing it with all the depths of their heart? No. There's no root here. It's only this temporary growth. And then it says, and in the illustration, they're scorched by the sun. It all dies. It's only temporary. And they fall away. It means the falling away here is they are caused to stumble and they fall down and they don't get up. It really means to just be appalled. So they're hearing and joyful about it, but there's something that happens that causes them to be appalled. And it says when affliction arises, and this word affliction means when there's some kind of distress. We all know that life is filled with distresses. It doesn't say what kind. It can be a mental distress. It can be a physical distress. It can be a social distress. It can be an economic distress. It can be any kind of distress. Where the distress becomes more significant than the word that you've heard. And this distress, it's like it becomes the overwhelming influence in your life. It causes you to stumble. You stumble and you fall down. Or when persecution arises. Persecution is really significant. It's really to pursue unto destruction. It's to pursue really unto death. What persecution really wants is for the truth to die. But those who hold the truth, they're only too happy for them to die as well. Persecution is very significant. And there are many people who, when faced with persecution, they say, no, I don't believe that anymore. Because the looming persecution and the death, which is awful, is far greater. And so they stumble. The seed was sown, they received it with joy, but something else has come along that is greater than all of that, and they stumble over that, and they fall down, and they don't get up. The third is the sowing of the seed. It says, and they also heard. This is the sowing of the word of God, and they hear it. Thorns enter and choke out the word. This is like the word being choked out. What would choke it out? Well, the worries of this world. The anxiety, anything that causes, you know, disruption. And again, we know what this is too. The worries of this world. The anxieties of life. The difficulties that people face. And you may know that when you go through a difficult time, it's hard to read your Bible. The anxiety of life. I mean, this is not just something that, you know, we're going to come and look at this last seed. We're going to say, well, this just describes what we are every day, all the time. I said, we know what it means to be afraid of affliction and afraid of persecution. We look at that and we say, yeah, that's a very significant influence. That's something certainly not for me. It's not something that I want. We know that, and we also know the worries of life. In our current day, there's many things to worry about. You know, where are we going as a nation? Where are we going as a church? Where are we going as Christians? Where is Christianity going? What is happening in our world? And we look at this, and you can be worried about that. You can be worried about the concerns that you're facing. There's any number of things that you can be worried about. And the point of these is the Lord says, these worries come and they just choke out the word of God. The deceitfulness of riches is another choking influence. Why are riches such a problem? And the answer is because with riches, we become assured that we're sort of taking care of ourselves. We're providing for ourselves. We have what we need. We can take care of ourselves. And the riches promises that we can provide for ourselves. And we can be deceived by that and think, I'm just provided for, I'm providing for myself now. I can provide for myself throughout all eternity. The third thing that is mentioned is the desire for all kinds of other things. This is a very strong desire. It even means evil cravings. And all of these things can snuff out the Word of God. And the point that Jesus is making with these first three instances where the Word of God is sown is that there are many things that can cause the Word of God that we hear, even hear and receive with joy, to not be effective in our hearts. I'm speaking on a experiential level when I talk about this. But Jesus is standing before a multitude of people. It's very interesting. He knows what's going on in every heart. He knows what's taking place. And, you know, there's a wonder that Jesus didn't say, you know, get me out of this boat. I'm wasting my time. I'm wasting my time. Because the vast majority of these people, they're going to take what they've heard and it has going to have zero effect in their lives. You know, many of us have been in a place where we look back on our lives and we say, well, sometimes people say to me, you know, I heard the gospel message many times. I heard it many times. I said, I don't want it. I don't need it. And then I heard the gospel message, and it's as if my whole world was shaken by this message. This is the hand of God. This is the working of God. But I'm not talking about that here. I'm just saying that this word of God that I received, it was the most important thing in my life. And my afflictions and my persecutions are understood in light of the word of God. And these riches and the worries of the world and the desires, you know, I always like to take, you take all the things that are happening to you in your life. And the way the Christians deal with everything that's happening is you take what's happening and you bring it and you break it upon the Word of God. You bring it and it's as if your problems and difficulties, which may not go away, you may have problems that you'll have for the rest of your life. You may have difficulties that you're going to encounter for the rest of your life. But what we do with the Word of God is we come and we take it and the difficulties of life and we come to the Word of God and we break not the Word of God on our difficulties, but we break our difficulties on the Word of God because we say, this is God's Word. This is the truth. This is eternal truth. This is forever truth. So whatever I'm facing in this life cannot touch what God is giving me in this life. That's why I'm a hearer of the Word of God. Because when God says, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. I will never leave you and never forsake you. And we go through life, and you can, in the middle of life, you can say, I feel as if God is not with me. I feel alone. So I say, well, what do I do with that feeling? I go back to the Word of God. Is God ever unfaithful? No. He says, for he himself has said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And he's talking to people who are losing everything. In Hebrews, he's talking, he says, be content with such things as you have. What things do you have that you can't lose? I'll tell you what you have that you can't lose. The know never God is what you have that you can't lose. Everything else in this life you can lose. You can lose your health. You can lose your wealth. You can lose all your possessions. You can lose everything. You can lose everything. What can you not lose? And that is the God who says, I will no never leave you. I will no never forsake you. It means I will no never drop you. I will no never let go. Whoops, where'd he go? Oh, well, never happens. And I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. It's not the same thing. The second word means to leave you when you're in trouble. So I get in trouble and I say, Lord, I feel like you've left me. I feel like I'm alone here. I feel forsaken. And the Lord says, what did I say? Oh, yeah, you never leave me. You never forsake me. So my feelings are over here. The rock of God's truth is over here. What am I going to hang on to? Well, from a personal perspective, you hold on to the Word of God. And that's what he talks about in this last imagery, the last one. In verse 20, it says, let me just read this. Verse 20. And those are the ones that hear the Word of God. Those are the ones on whom the seed was sown in good soil. They hear the word and they accept it and they bear fruit. Bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. That's extraordinary. Nobody, and I know the stats on this, but nobody ever had a crop that produced 30-fold or 60 or 100-fold. So here's where the parable kind of goes way looming large. It says this is a huge abundance. When you hear the word of God, there's an abundance of what it accomplishes in you. The word of God is powerful. The word of God is effective. And it is fruitful. And Jesus Christ is saying, let those who have ears to hear, let them hear. Let them hear. Because this word that goes forth, this seed, is a powerful living seed. Seeds are an amazing thing, and I don't know, I'm not a farmer, so I'll probably get in trouble by talking about this, but you know, it's amazing that you can take seeds and you can put them safely in a place and preserve them for a time. I said, well, how do you keep them alive? I said, well, they're not alive. But you put them in the ground, and you water them in the ground or whatever, and you put them on the ground, and they come to life. I think every time a farmer plants seed and it grows a crop, it is a miracle. It's a miracle of life. It's this seed. You may keep a seed. I don't know how long you can keep them. Got to check with the farmers out here. Maybe a year or two. It's sitting there, if it starts to decay, you're in trouble. You keep the seeds. If you keep them dry, you keep them ready, and then you can sow them. They come to life. You didn't water them in the jar. You didn't water them when you're keeping them. The Word of God is powerful. And when the Word of God has an effect in us, there's a miracle that takes place. That's the miracle of God's blessing and causing His Word to be fruitful in our lives. Because it's not only fruitful, it's life-giving. It gives us eternal life. We have a God who communicates with His words. When you receive the Word of God, everything happens to you. You go from death to life. You go from sinner to saint. You go to sinful to being forgiven. You're going to being unrighteous to being righteous. By hearing the Word of God. We have a God who's communicating with us. He says, hear the Word of God. Adam and Eve didn't hear the Word of God. Now He says, I want you to hear the Word of God. And when you hear the Word of God, this Word is powerful in us, accomplishing God's purposes in us, day after day after day. We have a standing with God that is complete and perfect. We are fully forgiven and fully righteous the moment we believe. And God then says, I want you to walk this out day by day. I want you to see your sanctification. So we walk out, but every day we can say, I know who I am before God. I'm fully forgiven. I'm fully righteous for God. Now I'm trudging along. Oops, I failed there. You know, I'm wobbling along, trying to make it along the way. And every day I can say, no, I know who I am. But God wants me to see this over time. The power of God's word in our hearts and lives. The power of God's faithfulness through every storm that we go through. The difficulties of life. to be able to come to the end of a difficulty in life, or to be in the midst of a difficulty in life and say, one thing I'm sure of, this difficulty is hard, and God is all sufficient. And God is able. And God is enough. Why is that? Well, because God is the God of His Word, and His Word is powerful because of the power of God. It's His Word, it's His truth. That's why Jesus is sitting in front of this crowd and is just totally amazed that they wouldn't all just fall down and receive the whole thing. It's free. It's God's loving word that is presented. And people say, I don't want it, for whatever reason. Totally amazing. And Jesus is totally amazed in one sense in this whole thing, full well knowing that God's purposes are being accomplished as well. When you hear a passage like this, one of the things that's important to do is to focus on your heart. Focus on my heart. Whenever I read this passage, you know, there's the tendency when I read this passage and you're looking at it, you know, I know some people that are like the choked out people, you know, or the scorched people. You know, I know some of those people. I've seen that. That's not what you're to think about when you read this passage. Don't worry about others. Look at your own heart. He who has ears to hear the word of God. So I say to you, hear the word of God. You mean the word that only God can open our eyes to see? Yeah, hear the word of God. That only God can open our hearts to believe? Yeah, hear the word of God. Because God's word is powerful. It will accomplish His purposes. But focus on your heart. Be a hearer and doer of God's word. God's word is powerful. God's word will make you a doer of the word. But Jesus is talking about receiving the word of God. It was perplexing to Him as the Messiah who comes in the answer of all of the Old Testament promises. And He comes and He's perfect fulfillment of all those promises. And people look at Him and they say, we don't want you. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But to them who receive Him, to them He gave the right to become the children of God. Be a hearer of the word of God. In all of life, be a hearer of the word of God. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We're thankful that it is the truth. We're thankful that it is an accurate reflection of who You are. You are the truth. We're thankful that You're the God of salvation. We're thankful that You're the God of kingdom. We're thankful that You're a sovereign God accomplishing Your purposes in our hearts and lives. Lord, help us to be hearers of the word. Help us to hear Your truth and submit to it and believe it and obey it and live it. Help us to build our lives upon the rock of Your truth, which nothing can move. So strengthen our hearts. Strengthen us day by day. We pray for our lost world. We pray that You would open the eyes of many to see the truth. We come because of the grace of God. Dear God, be gracious to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.